left off last week, we were talking about the principle of Yashim Mokab Ludam. The most of the Shana Pasti, the Katatim in the Gemara, once we call it Psichas Mokab, Psichas Kaver, once the uterus is opened up, so then we assume there has to be blood there, even though we didn't necessarily see anything. Just the very Psichas Kaver itself is considered to be a Gorim of Dam. So there's a big machlik, it's Haposkim, about whether that applies to what we call psicha mibachot. All the cases in the Gemara, psicha samachor, I talk about when something is coming out from the inside, the woman is having a very, very small miscarriage, some kind of an opening is happening from the inside out. What about from the outside in? That was in the Yehudis Chiddush, that there's no difference. Just as psicha samachor, when something goes out, causes a problem, psicha samachor, when something goes in, also causes a problem. And the Chazanish wasn't so sure that was right. I mean, he didn't mamish disagree with it, and then he wasn't so convinced that that was correct. It's that question that becomes the background for all discussions about gynecological exams. When a doctor inserts any kind of an instrument in, so do we have to be concerned with psichas hamokor? Up until now, we're only discussing that we didn't see blood. If we see blood, that's a whole different ballgame. It's going to be a different discussion. Maybe it is damakla, it's not damakla. That's going to be a little down the line. Right now we're just talking about the woman goes for an exam, some kind of a procedure that's done. Does that automatically render her in need or not? So the answer is, well, if it meets the criteria of psichas hamokor, then yes. If it doesn't, then no. So there are two factors that have to be taken into consideration when we're dealing with psichas hamokor, assuming the Neviuda is right. If we don't accept the Neviuda, then there's a moot sugya. But assuming that the Neviuda is correct, that psichas hamokor can be accomplished even from the outside in, so there are two factors that have to be addressed. Number one, was there really a psichas hamokor? And number two, how big was the psichas hamokor? So if there really was a psichas hamokor, it depends on, was the mokor penetrated? So what exactly is considered to be the mokor? Mokor usually translates to the uterus, but just precisely, biologically, halachically, what exactly do we mean by that? There is a big machlekes haposkim, we can often come back to this a little bit later on, exactly what the halachic status of the cervix is. So, we don't know the details of biology, but the uterus per se, that's obviously considered to be part of the machor. But then, the outer part, which, again, I think biologically is usually not called, it's called something else, right? It's usually called the cervix, not called the uterus. But halachically, it may be identical. If it's halachically identical, that would be a big chumrah in this area, because the psichas hamokor would be even just penetration into the cervix. Just any instrument that would go into the cervix would be a potential problem of psichas hamokor. If you hold, like the other opinion, that the cervix is not considered to be part of the uterus, not considered to be a part of the halachic makor, then the issue of psichas hamokor would only be accomplished at a later point. You'd have to go significantly so far, but enough. Falling medically, considerably further in order to be a problem. So when we speak about the psichas hamokor, we're talking about the exterior part, we're talking about the interior part. And if you really get the detail of the cervical exam, anytime the doctor puts in something to examine something in the cervix, so according to the machmirim, he did a psichas hamokor. According to the bekilim, unless he went into the uterus, so he didn't do a psichas hamokor. That's one issue to keep in mind. Second issue to keep in mind, even if the doctor penetrated into the cervix, well, how big a entering did he do? So we already saw last week that Tosfos points out for the deal from the Mishnah that a psichas hamokor has to be a certain size. It's a little tiny mashu of an opening that doesn't qualify as a psichas hamokor. So what's the shear? So we had a little trouble last week. 15.
Did we say last week that any psichas hamokor is automatically answers the woman?
Yeah. Well, assuming that we had psichas hamokor, so that's what we're trying to figure out. Did we actually penetrate into the mokor? And even if we did, how much was a psicha? So the halachic, the key halachic term is psichas hamokor. The only problem is we're not sure what psicha means. We're not sure what mokor means. Otherwise, we got a down pat. Otherwise, we understand everything. So mokor means either including the cervix or not including the cervix. Nafkamina for all kind of cervical exams. Psicha means a certain size. Not sure how big that size is. The overwhelming majority of the time, when a woman goes for different procedures, there isn't really going to be a concern of psichas hamokor for a variety of reasons. First of all, maybe it's not going far enough. And even according to the machmirim, not going far enough, usually the instrument that's inserted is going to be fairly small. The general rule is the further you go in, so usually the smaller the instrument is going to be. So the instruments that are used, again, I'm not a doctor, the instruments that are used for most types of procedures, the way the display by the doctors to the rabbanim, is that the overall majority of the procedures don't run into a problem of psichas hamachor, and the reason usually is because the instrument is very, very small. So, in theory, there is such a halacha called psichas hamachor, but in terms of absolute practically, bisman hazeh, there's usually a little bit less of a concern. You know, the different factors that go into passing the shayla. First of all, you have to decide, well, I'll be choshesh for psichas hamachor in the first place. The rabbi begins mostly to reshow him. I'll be choshesh for psichas hamachor b'machutz, that's in the Bihud and others. Do we have a psich of the correct size? Do we have the makor? Are we really in the makor? When you answer up the answer to all those questions, then you can decide whether you have a psich of the makor or not. So most of the time when a procedure is done, we're not as concerned with psichas hamachor. Sometimes there will be actual blood, and that'll be a whole other ballgame, that'll be a whole more complicated shayla. But in the absence of any blood, just because you went for a quote unquote procedure, that in and of itself is not necessarily going to be a problem.
Where did we go, or how did it come that bleeding caused nida, then we jump to psichas hamachor?
Because the Gemara makes it make it almost like a physical, biological statement. He evshel psichas hamachor below down. The Gemara says there must be blood there, you dismissed it. That's what the Gemara says that. I mean, again, it's the Chalikis in the Gemara, the Chalikis the Ram and the other Rishon, but the Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, we pass in, but that is an absolute statement. He actually sits the Machah below down. So now, as long as we've reached that point of sits the Machah, then we have a problem. But again, according to what we're saying, it's very rare that there's Mamas that we actually reach that Machah. So there is a whole other Sugya, which is part of Psich Samachor, which begins in the bottom of page 9. But the Gemara uses the term Psich HaSakev or Psich Samachor in a totally different area of Halacha. And the question becomes whether that totally different area of Halacha is relevant in terms of Opus Dida. So the Sugya in the bottom of page 9, the 6th of the Ma'am Kamos, is actually a Sugya in Masech HaShabbos. It's relating to the status of a woman giving birth. So Amar Ravida Mashmuel, Chaya, a woman in labor, calls Mansha a kever pasuach. As long as the kever is pasuach, notice the same terms, psich is a kever, psich is a machor, as long as the opening, as long as the uterus is open, bein amra tzvichani, bein amra ein tzvichani, whether she has needs that she feels, or whether she doesn't necessarily have any feel, the thing that she needs, mechal and the Shabbos. If we think that she has certain things that are necessary to take care of her, even though she says, no, I can do without them, so if it appears to us that she needs them, we are mechal Shabbos for her. This is part of a general theory in Chil Shabbos of Bikuch Nefesh. The Gemara says in Masech Yuma that we take into consideration two different opinions when we either mechal Shabbos or when we either Yom Kippur. We take into consideration what the doctors, the experts around us tell us, and we take into consideration what the Chova says as well. Bein l'kula, bein l'kula. It means we always make it. Bikuch Nefesh always showing the hakel. So let's say in Yom Kippur we have a person who's sick in Yom Kippur, and the doctor says, I think they're okay, I think they'll make it, you know, they're off the eat. The person says, I feel so weak, I feel so faint, I'm not going to be able to make it. So then we listen to the Cholam Yisaf, right? But the other way around, the person is sick, and the Cholam says, I'm fine. The doctor says, no, you're not so fine. So listen to the doctor with Kulu also. So we always treat any of these cases as a suffix Bikuach Nefesh. So that's what Shmuel tells us here also, that once we've declared that the woman is a Chayesh, is Yeladis, she's in the potential status of Pikuach Nefesh, so even if she says, Ein Tzrichani, we're still going to be Bechal Shabbos. If we feel there are certain needs that she has, we're going to be Bechal Shabbos. But here the Gemara gave us the key phrase, Shekeva Pasuach, that she's only considered to be Yeladis when she's the Kever Pasuach, when she's ready to reach that point that the quote unquote uterus is opening up, that's considered to be the Psichas HaMokor. That's considered to be the Psichas HaMokor Chil Shabbos. So at the top of page 10, the Gemara now tries to identify what that means. The Amos had Psichas HaKever, the 7th of the Ram HaKomis. How do you know whether she has a Psichas HaMokor? How do you know that she's reached that point? So the Gemara gives you different kinds of Shiur. Amar Abaye, Mishor Shetesheb Al HaMashver. That when she sits on the Mashver, she sits on the, literally translated as a birthing stool, we'll try to figure out what the modern day equivalent of that is in a moment. But I mean, she's already sitting in position, she's already in the position to try to give birth. From the time that she's already bleeding in labor, the the time that her friends have to help her walk, she's having difficulty already walking. So these are different simanim that the Amoraim are using to try to determine the physical reality when she is a chashash. The woman's in her fourth month of pregnancy and everything looks normal, and she, there's no reason to believe that she's a chalashesh persekana. She's in her 6th month, 7th month, 8th month. some point she gets close to giving birth. So once she starts to exhibit these simanim, then we're already concerned. Flesh is considered to be a chol sheish b'sakanim. We will be mechal Shabbos for if we see that, if we think that it's necessary. In Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Chol Shabbos, so we pass in that all of these are true. It means if a woman has any of these simanim, we treat her already as a yeledes. The poskim are quick to point out that in terms of Chol Shabbos, a lot of these simanim don't apply to Zman Hazeh, because Chazal were working with the assumption that the woman's giving birth in the house. So we don't have to take into consideration travel time. Let's say the days of Chazal, so if a woman has not yet reached this point of it's active labor, whatever point this corresponds to, so then what do you do? Why do you have to do anything? There's nothing happening yet. So when things begin to happen, things begin to look serious, then you can start with Bechal Shabbos. This man is there, let's say a woman on a Shabbos afternoon, so she's going to feel that she's already in labor. So the doctor tells her, you're going to have a baby in the next couple of hours. What's that mean? Not yet Yoshevas Alam Ashver, not yet Dam Shoysim, not yet Chavasar Nososa. I can't be Bechal Shabbos yet. So the Shmir Shabbos goes, that's a joke. He says, you have to take into consideration that you have to get to the hospital. So that's a whole different ballgame as man is there. Take travel time into consideration. So you can't wait for this one to happen. So at what point do you say that a woman is in the state of Pikuach Nefesh? Whatever the doctor tells her. The doctor says, come to the hospital. So that's considered to be Pikuach Nefesh. If you think that it's time to call the doctor, so even if you're not sure. The general rule that we tell women when they're in labor is, whatever you would do on Tuesday, that's what you do on Shabbos. So if on Tuesday we call the doctor to check, should I get come to the hospital? So you should make that same phone call on Shabbos. So how do you make the phone call? Those are the details.
But that would be as far as that, as far as people not Shabbat, would that also be as far as considering that Pesach Kaver?
Oh, no, but also, we didn't get the Nidah part. We didn't even touch the Nidah part this week. We have to just familiarize ourselves with the rules concerning Pikuach Nefesh.
But in these situations, Pesach has a kever, it's Pesach the cervix. So, well, aren't you making then that statement that the cervix is the uterus?
Right.
Biology.
Right. Well, the problem is that even if Chasidus becomes tricky, because by the time the woman is having her contractions, so there almost is no cervix anymore. Right. Certain news, we can become, in a sense, one, which makes it even more complicated in terms of Chasidus. We didn't even talk about this yet. But sometimes when something is inserted, when she's already, dilated at a certain point, so that becomes even more complicated to determine, well, maybe there's a psichas amochor. This is a shaila, like when sometimes at the end of pregnancy, if she's a little bit overdue, they'll strip the membranes. So there, when the doctor inserts, so the other folks were very weary to say that's not a psichas amochor, because it is a mochor, that's it. So there's nothing really there anymore. I don't know. I was trying to get an answer from a doctor about this. The doctor in the robot, I'm trying to get a straight answer about these procedures at the very end of pregnancy. Whether they're more of a concern of six or more, they may be. But getting back over here,
I don't understand. If a woman is dilated, how could that not be psychosomatic?
Okay, we can get to that in a second. We'll get to that in a moment. That could potentially be a tremendous chumra. I'll tell you chumra first, and then I'll tell you how big your chumra is, and then we'll try to knock down both chumras, okay?
Works for me.
So the question is, are we learning the right sugya or the wrong sugya? It's a nice sugya. The sugya's of Pikuach Nefesh. Shabbos is always a fascinating, interesting sugya. But the question is, does it have any relevance at all for us? So the only reason why we believe that the sugya that we're learning about Shabbos is at all relevant is because we saw the same words. This is not Xer Shabbos. This is not, Midrash Haton addressed there. We saw a Gemara that talks about Psichas HaKevah for Shabbos, and a Gemara that talks about Psichas HaKevah for Nida, and we're guessing, should these two sugyas be related or not? So in the 8th of the Marmakomos, in the Sefer Sidrei Tara was a Peirush written in Chasnida, it's printed in the back of Shulchan Aruch Yerdeya. So he quotes the following tremendous, tremendous chumra. He's going to disagree with it in a moment, but he quotes a tremendous chumra. So in the 8th of the Marmakomos, the Shal Zachiv is Nachla Shiva, it's a Mites Chasav. The Isha Shemalu Yamela Lades, Lefi Demyona. That was the key phrase. A woman, it's time to give birth. According to her, Dimyon always means imagination. So it means she thought she was going to have a baby. V'karu la'amiyal ledes. So they called the midwife. V'gam shar noshim hiskimu shegi'ata eis lidita. All the women in town, all agree, all the experts come, that she's ready to have a baby yet. It's all ready. V'sasku ima. And they start to get her ready to have a baby. V'achar eis shalos. After several hours of this procedure, Hamiyaledes lo rosa es avlad. No baby. So she had forced labor. But Braxton Hicks contraction. Well, remember she had. Kashla Maisa. Would be the modern day equivalent of running all the night to the hospital and they check you out and send you home. So in Kachava. And now what happened? Viadaini oleches lo dalet shavuos achareze. She's going for another 4 weeks. So it was just a wee bit early. Ukresa vein shineha. That's a phrase right out of the Mishnah, Maseches Ksubos, which literally means her stomach is between her teeth, which is a nice way of saying she's still pregnant. So that's a phrase that Chazal used to describe that her stomach is still there. So now the question is, okay, so not the first, that's the last woman to get a little bit nervous. What's the big deal? Listen to this. Vanoshim Idos. Now the women in town gave us the following testimony. Shebechol Medinas Poland, all of Poland, Hamina, the custom is, Shetekev Shekarla Me'aledes, that as soon as the midwife is called, the Bodekes Asa'isha, Imigiyas Me'aledes Olav, that as soon as the midwife is called, and the midwife is trying to assess whether she has to have a baby, Mechaskina Osa Bituma, we treat her as being a Nida. So just the very moment that we call the midwife, that's it, that's the end of the story. She's going strong for another month, Let her do bedikas, do hefsikara, and bedikas go to the mikvah 2 weeks from now before she has a baby. And she's considered to be a nida from the time the midwife comes and we're assessing her, checking her out. That's considered to be a nida. Veherich lasa smuchos le'amineg apiyadin. And the Nachla Shiva tries to support this custom. It wasn't just after Abubamites from the ladies in Poland, but it was really based in halacha. What was this custom based on? We had the Isam and Perek Mefanen, the Psichas HaKever, Humishateshev Al HaMashber. It's based on the Gemara in Perek Mefanen, which is the Gemara in Shabbos, the seventh Mamre Kamos we just read, where the Gemara equates sitting on the Mashber, sitting on the birthing stool, with Psichas HaBachar. But Kaimelon, the Iyev Shal of Psichas HaKever B'Lodam, and since we pass it, Ruchas Nida, Iyev Shal of Psichas HaKever B'Lodam, therefore she is Asura, she is Tevea from the moment that she sits on the Mashber. So what were the Minig in Poland, not the Shiva defending, what were they assuming? They would make a couple of assumptions. They were assuming that there is a halacha of Psichas HaMokar, obviously. That everyone seems to assume except for the Rambam. Number two, they were assuming that Psichas HaMokar of Shabbos is synonymous with Nida. So whatever shiurim we use of Shabbos can be carried over to Luchas Nida. And they were assuming that the calling of a Mialedes, the calling of a midwife, and the examining of a midwife of the woman is a halach equivalent of Yosheves al HaMashver. So if you put together all those factors, then you come with a Havli B'chomer. A woman is late in pregnancy, she called the midwife, she quote unquote gets up onto the mashmir, the midwife examines her, it doesn't matter what happens afterwards. But if there's a baby, the baby is irrelevant to the discussion. That's not what makes her into a nida. What makes her into a nida is Yosheva Salah Mashmir. She was Yosheva Salah Mashmir, and therefore she is considered to be a full fledged nida. That was the source of the minog that existed in Poland that Lech HaShiva was defending.
The whole thing, it sounds like the pyramid should fall down.
Totally was a mistake. The whole thing was a mistake. It turned out she wasn't in labor.
No, but the Epshal Tifas that comes below down assumed that there is the potential for bleeding. So that, right?
But, well, there was.
So that's normal, but once a woman is pregnant, especially if she's in eighth month, there is no bleeding.
Well, there is bleeding that takes place at the end of it, when she's giving birth, there's bleeding.
That's giving birth, but this month that she had some false labor. There's no bleeding.
The
mind is not going to slough off at this point.
Right, but the only problem is that the Gemara does make the statement E Epshal Psichas HaGever, and we saw earlier that the Ramah writes, somebody wrote at some point, that E Epshal Psichas HaGever applies across the board. It applies no matter what. It applies even if she's at a time in her cycle where we're pretty confident that they're not going to be bleeding. Doesn't matter. That's E Epshal Psichas HaGever. So I thought you were asking me the pyramid falls down because the whole thing turned out to be one big mistake because the midwives in Poland didn't know what they were talking about. So let's see in a second. So the cosmos there, the Sibitara continues. The cosmos there, the Sefer Solis Lamincha. So now the Sibitara, first he quotes that custom from Poland. He quotes an Achla Shiva's defense of the custom. Now he quotes other Achavarim, Musav Ezelashonim, who Lefiani is the Ein Devara Berurin. He says that I'm not so sure that those words that the Nachla Shiva said, a borer, are clear. The kol shekein ein muchrachim, and for sure they're not absolute. So they're like a double attack, saying I'm not so sure he was right, and then I'm saying I'm not pretty sure he's not right. The after kaimalon, even though it's true, the basic premise of what he said is correct. The mishateishel ala mashba v'psichsa kever. Yes, it's true. I'm not denying the din of psichsa kever. I'm not even arguing that the fish is arguing. I'm willing to go. I'm gonna meet you halfway with psichsa mokar. And yes, it's true. And the Gemara and Shabbos and definitions are correct. One small technicality. Haynu imyoledes achakach mitoch kishuzet. I mean, if she would have had psichsa mokar and she would have actually given birth based on the kishu means the contractions. If all of this would have progressed properly, then I would have said, you're right, to the moment that the midwife was called in, that's psichas amokor. Masha enkein, im eini aledes achakach. But she didn't have a baby. Bottom line is, she didn't have a baby. Hochaz man rav, lo yoga. She went for another month without having a baby. Igloi milsalim afreya, she tos hoya. It turns out retroactively that the whole thing was a mistake. Chavle shav hoya. If that's the halacha way of saying practice the next kid and travel. It was not true. False labor. It was false labor. And also, says, guess what? The midwife made a mistake also. The midwife should have told her right away. It's garnish from garnish. So all the dust settles, says the Sidri Tara, in theory, the cheshbon was right. In theory, the comparison from Shabbos to Nida was correct, but it fails because the particulars of this case happened to have been retroactively that the whole thing was one big mistake. So she never really, quote-unquote, went into labor, therefore she never really had a psichas hamokar, and therefore she never really became a Nida. She has another month to go. But there are other poskim who question this comparison of the Nachal Shiva, question this minig of all the women in Poland that was taking place in the 1700s, this custom to the minute the midwife's called, she's a Nida automatically. So there are other poskim who question it on much more fundamental grounds, much more basic grounds, who say that, forget about whether she made a mistake, didn't make a mistake, who says that this is even called the psichas hamokar that we're talking about? The entire sugi for the last 15 minutes has been revolving around a comparison between Nachal Shabbos and Nachal Nida, and now we're just trying to figure out, well, does this fall into that case or not? Comes the Chavos Das, in the ninth Gemara comes, Chavos Das written by the Nesivos. Chavos Das was the Bala Nesivos wrote the Nesivos of Cheshev Mishpat, and he wrote the Chavos Das on Yerudea. So the Chavos Das disagrees with the whole minig in Poland based on totally different grounds. We take a look at the ninth Gemara comes. First he quotes the Tshuva Stachel Shiva, we just said. Then Aleph, when he continues the next little, the Aleph in the brackets. Ulufiyani is daiti lo nirakein. He says, it would appear to me that this entire premise is incorrect. The halacha is that in theory, if a woman has a cesarean, so then she doesn't technically become a nida. Now, lamaisa she does, because even when the cesarean delivery is going to be, all the blood is going to come through the uterus anyway, so she's going to become a nida anyway. But in theory, if there's no blood through the uterus, then she's not a nida. He says, why is she not a nida? What? She didn't go to the mashbear. There was no issue with mashbear. So of course there was a mashbear. So he says, the answer is, we got the whole thing wrong. Halavade nira. The hadi amrina, the yevshav psich zekevabal adam. When does the Gemara speak about the Epshot Tzich Zekev V'lo Dam? Hainu Davka Kishehi Pila Eze Dovar De Nifnach HaKever Kokach Ad Sheyotza Mimena. If the Kever opens up and something comes out, all those cases of the Gemara were, the Kever opened and a piece of flesh came out, the hair came out, the klipas came out, something came out, so then we, oh, the Epshot, it's enough, and the opening was big enough, the Epshot Tzich Zekev V'lo Dam. As I'm reading the Epshir below them. Abakash Niftach a kever below Yotze Bimena Dovar. If the kever opens up and nothing came out yet, Abdamina Yetze. Why should you think that the opening of the Machor brings blood? The Ein Rayah Bimashach Hashuva Chola Lomash Yotze Gam Kev Bimena Dam. I the Gemara says that Psichas HaMachor applies in Shabbos even though the baby didn't come out yet. What does that do with anything? Means that makes her sick. That makes her to be a lettuce. That makes her to be a nefesh. That has nothing to do with Hilchos Nida. So what the Chavos Das just said is that the two sugyas have nothing to do with each other. One is a sugya of determining was there blood. The other is a sugya of determining is she reach the point that she's an emergency, that she's a cholesterol. They have nothing to do with each other. So says the Chavos Das, the reason why the woman who went to the midwife, and the midwife told her to go on the mashmir, go on the birthing stool, but let's examine you, and then nothing came out, the reason why she's not an Ida is not because, like the Sidri Tower says, because Igloy Milson hoped it was a mistake. That wasn't a mistake. Who cares? What was that? Nothing came out. As long as nothing physically came out, there's no Davina.
So would that mean that according to the Chavos Das, that let's say the husband, all this was going on, would not have to necessarily...
Oh, you hit it, Mom, that's the next line. So at the end of the day, it would appear that most poskim disagreed with that minhag in Poland. So notwithstanding the women of Poland, I want to knock the women of Poland, great, great, great grandmothers, but the women in Poland had this custom that the Nachashim was trying to defend, that the minute the woman in her ninth month goes to the midwife, it's all over. She's a Nida no matter what happens. Whether she has a baby, doesn't have a baby, they're going to the midwife, they're examined by the midwife, they go into the birthing stool, that creates Nidus Gemura. So it would appear from the later posting that they didn't accept that. But, as Eilut points out 100% correctly, they're not accepting it for two radically different reasons. The Sidrei Tahara ultimately rejected it, because even though it was conceptually true, it's not practically true, because it turns out it was a mistake. It turns out there never really was an authentic labor. The Chavos Das is questioning it on much more fundamental grounds, that the whole comparison of Psichas HaMocha from Shabbos to Nida is not correct, because the only thing that makes you need this is when something actually comes out. So now, my nafkamina. At the end of the day, we rejected the women from Poland's Chumrah. So, what's the nafkamina? It's a tremendous nafkamina. A woman goes into labor. Everything's normal. She comes to the hospital, and the doctor, the midwife, the older, whatever it is examining her, and says, guess what? You're having, this is real life. This is the real thing. This baby's on the way. A few hours, you can have a baby. Now, is she in Nida at that point or not? So according to the women from Poland, of course she's in Nida no matter what. What about according to the poskim from Poland, the Sidri Tahara, the Chavos Das, is she in Nida or not? So according to the Sidri Tahara, she's in Nida, because we're concerned now, we had a Psichas HaMocha. If it turns out we were wrong, and we sent her home, then we'll say, okay, guess what, you weren't in Nida all along. But if we're not sending her, she's progressing, she's 1 centimeter, 2 centimeter, 3 centimeter, 5 centimeter, as the labor is progressing, she is already in Nida. Once she met whatever stage of those Psichas HaMocha are on. According to the Chavos Das, she's not even in Nida yet. She's a nothing at that point, because nothing came out yet. Kol Zman, the baby hasn't come out, something real hasn't come out, the sugya v'yefshuk sikhs akev l'odam doesn't exist. It's a non-entity, that sugya. It doesn't apply under these circumstances. So that's it. Now we're talking. Now we're in business. Halach l'maisa. A woman goes into labor. Is she a nida? Is she not a nida? According to the Nachas Shivas Chumra of Abba, she's a nida, but we don't really accept that. According to the Sidri Tahara, she is a nida. According to the Chavos Das, she's not a nida. Let's go through.
According to the Chavos Das, would you say that a normal gynecological visit wouldn't cause her to become neither, even if there is psichas HaMocha, because nothing
came out. But now the problem is, but if we don't know what the Chavos Das held about the nevuah of something going in. So he may agree that something going in is like something coming out. But he was saying just a psicha with nothing in any direction is not a problem.
So that he goes according to, against the whole premise of E.F. Shep
psicha. Well, he accepts that, but he says that all, in the Gemara it only appears when something actually came out. If some flesh came out, then we have to assume blood came out also. But if nothing came in, nothing came out, just the mocha opened up, so what? What's the big deal? So how does this play out now in Maisa? So again, if you follow the Mekil and the Chavos Das, nothing to talk about. But if you follow the Machamir of the Sidri Tahara version, so Tachlis, practically, what is it? At what point does one become actually a Nida? So you have to go back to the 7th of the Marmakomos, go back to the 3 Shiurim and see. So at the top of page 10, the 7th of the Marmakomos, what were the 3 Shiurim? So one of them was, I'm Rabbi, Bisha Shetesh Vela Mashber. Second one was, Bisha Shedam Shoseis. The third was, Bisha Shechavosed Nosu Sabiakapel. So which one of the Shiurim are going to be reached? So the middle Shiur is irrelevant, because with Dam Shoseis, she's a need anyway, so that's a moot Shiur. But Shiur number 1 and Shiur number 3, Bisha Shetesh Vela Mashber. What does Teshiva Lamashber mean exactly? That means she came to the hospital, so she's now, she's admitted into labor, that's called Mashber. Is delivery, is that called? At what point, a birthing stool, what do the words mean, Bizman is that? We're not quite sure. What does it mean, that she has difficulty walking anymore? What does that mean? We're not sure exactly. How do you define that? What do the words mean? What makes matters even more complicated, as Bizman says, that many women when they give birth go on epidurals. So if you go on an epidural, So sometimes the reason why it's hard for her to walk is not because she's in such pangs of labor. So she's got an epidural pole. She's got a whole thing connected to her. So where does that fit into the picture? So where exactly do you call, what are the modern day equivalents of some of this kind of stuff? It's not exactly clear. There are yesh v'yesh. There are different poskim, different opinions about this. There are some poskim will say that me'ika mikradim, we follow the Sidri Tara, and if you follow Sidri Tara, you have to be machmir, and whatever you think is a modern day equivalent, early on in labor, will make the woman to a knee and finish. There are some more machmir like that. Others will say, me'ika redin, we really follow the Chavos Das, that the whole thing doesn't really apply. Until she's mamish bleeding, she's not considered to be a knee. So what I usually tell people, which can, the story that I have is, when the couples ask me, at what point do I become a nida? So I answer them, when you start to bleed, that's when you become a nida. All these other things before, there are so many sphakas and so many coolers. It's first of all, let's not forget, maybe the Rambam's right, and we don't even pass the actual tzitzit of Gevul Adav. Okay, so most Rishonim didn't accept that. Maybe the Chavos Das is right, that the whole thing is irrelevant when a woman's giving birth because nothing came out yet. Even if the Sidri Tara is right, we're not even sure that we've actually reached that point. There's so many cool, so many tzitzit of Hokel, so it appears that until there's some real blood, that's not considered to be a nida.
Is water breaking a symmetry?
Okay, so we're going to get to it. So now that we're going to go with this new definition, the old definition, when you start to bleed, that was the original definition. Before we got sidetracked with all these chumras, so we thought that until she's bleeding, there's nothing. So what's considered to be bleeding for these purposes? So very often before a woman goes into actual labor, so she'll start to bleed a little bit. But that little bit of bleeding beforehand, well, the bloody show, the mucus a little bit, so we assume that that's not considered to be done. Needless, again, if I say anything wrong medically, please correct me. But from what I was explaining is that blood at the very, very beginning, that pinkish, before actual labor, so that's usually just cervical blood. That's not, am I correct in that? That's what I was told. That's not uterine blood, that's just the cervix beginning to break apart. The capillaries and the cervix begin to break apart. So we assume that's not machmir, that's not really considered to be damnidus. But when she's mamish in labor and she starts to bleed, so that's considered to be damnidus. Or if the water breaks and there is blood in the water, so then we assume that blood is probably uterine blood also, so we have to be machmir in that. So generally the guidelines that we tell the women when they're in labor is that when they start to bleed, that's when they become asuros. Before that, again, according to some achmirim, they're also asuros. According to the Mekidim, they would be mutaros.
Water breaking is an indication of psichas amakum.
Is it necessarily an indication of psichas amakum? I mean, I don't know how much the opening has to be for the. I don't know whether that's enough of an opening to get the water to come out. I'm not sure whether that's considered to be a shear. My nafkamina, at the end of the day, she's in the middle of labor, my nafkamina. Big nafkamina, we would do things. Nafkamina for her wants to hold hands, nafkamina wants to help her, wants to, whatever he wants to do to help her physically. And number two, he wants to be able to be close enough to be able to see what's going on. So the din is that when a woman is in Ida, the husband's not supposed to look at the kamas amachusa shiba, he's not supposed to look at those parts of her body that are usually covered. So even though Moshe writes in the Tshuva that it's okay for a man to be in the living room, not everyone even agreed to that, but according to Rav Moshe, who was permitted meant to be in the delivery room, so Moshe writes, you have to be careful not to look. Once she's already a nida, so you can't look in the kamas and the chusa shabbat. So once she reaches one of these points, if she's bleeding, water, these kinds of latest urim, so then one should assume that the woman is considered to be a nida. Rav Moshe was asked in the tshuva about how far back we have to be concerned with psichas hamocha, according to the machmirim, at what point do you say psichas hamocha? So they told Rav Moshe that usually weeks before she has a baby, she's already beginning to die. She's already at 1 centimeter, 2 centimeters. So sometimes women feel, giving birth for the first time, so they go for a checkup, the doctor says, oh, you're already 1 to 2 centimeters. So the woman figures out, oh, that's great, that means I'm a fifth of the way done, and nothing's happened yet, it's been a breeze. Then they find out that the 1 to 2 centimeters is not where the problem is at the 9 to 10 centimeters. So the Moshe said that obviously 1 to 2 centimeters is not a psichas hamocha. Otherwise, he says, "Lo shemaro de v'zemiyelam." Every woman in the beginning of the 9th month becomes a surah. That's crazy. Even the women of Poland didn't say that. The women of Poland only said it when she goes, when she thinks she's in labor. But to say that a month before she gives birth, all of a sudden she's a nida, that's ridiculous, what she says. So it must be that that's not called psichas amochon. Where is psichas? We don't know. But we're sure that that early, early 1 to 2 centimeters is clearly not the psichas amochon that Chazal was talking about. So the bottom line is, when all the dust settles in terms of the sugi of psichas amochon, it appears in the Gemara, albeit in a slightly limited context. We have two major machlokes in here. We have the Nebihud and others about whether psichas amochon plays out in terms of going in with an instrument, whether that's even psichas amochon. Then we have the machlokes that have das, the sevitara, does psichas amochon apply when a woman is in labor and nothing yet has come out? So if you're making on both of those shilas, then the whole sugya of psichas amochon is a nice lumbus, but it's basically irrelevant la halacha. If you're machber on the first shilas, the Nebihud, then all the gynecological issues become potential questions of psichas amochon. Maybe they're all mutter for other reasons, because the instrument is too small, but at least you have to be down on the sugya. If you make it on the second shilas, if you hold like the chavis das, and the whole sugya is also moot when it comes to giving birth, but if you hold like the machmirim, then you have to be down on the shilas, figure it out. But everything that we've been talking about all revolves around, it's one line in the Gemara, he actually psichas amochon below the ham. According to the Rambam, who passed like the other Tanoim, then the whole shilas was moot also, but sure enough, we don't accept the Rambam, so therefore we have to figure out, what are the modern day equivalents of psichas amochon? Do they apply to gynecological exams? Do they apply to women being in labor? These are all the potential issues that revolve around this sugya of the actual psichas amochon.